I'm Lee Brown, and this is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, we're talking prisons, and I'll just let you wait to see what that means. We've got Jessica Wade. She's delightful. So enjoy this conversation. I've got some notes to take, and I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Tell me, who is Jessica Wade? Where is she located? Give us the backstop. And by the way, for all my listeners, tell them what color that lip gloss is. They're going to ask.
Oh my goodness, what color is this lip gloss? Romantic.
It's a romantic lip gloss. I mean, you've got to have a little romance in your life, and it might come from the lip gloss. You never know.
That's right. So I'm Jessica Wade. I am located in Northeast Georgia, so about an hour northeast of Atlanta at the foothills of the mountains near beautiful Lake Lanier. And I've been in real estate 10 years, loved every minute of it for the most part, really, because, you know, we all have our ups and downs.
Yeah, for the most part, it's a very accurate statement.
That's right. So I've done everything. I started out as an agent assistant, then started a real estate team, my agent that I was the assistant with, and then we opened a brokerage, and then he left me. He did retirement. And so I was running a brokerage before I ever became an agent. And I look like a deer caught in headlights. But then, you know, life happens. Then to 2019, I closed the brokerage and I became just an agent. So I've been just a single producing agent for the last 3 years.
Now, I'm going to have to mama hen you on that. Don't you say you're just a producing agent. You can say I'm a producing agent, because just sounds like that's lower than owning a brokerage. And it's not. It's just different. So fix that statement for me, Jessica.
I am a producing agent.
There you go, baby. Good job. All right. So you have the really interesting trajectory here. And by the way, 10 years, that's a lifetime in other worlds. And in real estate, it feels like 2 seconds, because you turn around and you're like, holy smokes, 10 years got away. So I want to know how you landed as an assistant to start with. Was it because you were fascinated by real estate, or is it because you're wired to be organizational? Or tell us a little bit about the starting point.
Yeah. So I had been a stay-at-home mom for 12 and a half years. My husband and I were driving, and I was like, do when Madison starts kindergarten. And he says, you need to do real estate. And I was like, real estate? I was like, I heard you don't get paid to do real estate. So put out a couple of feelers in town. And I said, I want to do real estate, but I want to get paid to do it. So that's how I ended up as the assistant for an agent. It was a way for me to get my foot in the door and try it and get paid to try it. So that's how that happened.
I think this will definitely be one of those little clips we pull out, because there's so many people who have that dream of real estate, but they can't figure out how to bridge that gap because they don't come from money. They don't have a lot saved up. You know, they just don't have the ability to make the leap. And you had kind of both. You had the spousal support, which is absolutely instrumental to making it in real estate, but also finding that financial stability means you can breathe a little bit and not have to jump where you maybe should tiptoe. Now, how did you go from assistant to being a partner in a team? Because obviously that's probably the weirdest transition I've ever heard. Usually the team leaders are the top producers, and we don't usually hear about the person who was keeping the whole business running, jumping up from that point. Was it that he saw in you inherent leadership style? What did he tell you he saw in you when he pulled you up?
Yeah, he said, you know, you compliment me so well. So he had been in real estate for 30 years. So he was very seasoned in the real estate side, and I was more seasoned in the marketing technology administrative side. And so we just complimented each other. And he, within 6 months of me working with him, he said, I think we need to start a team. And I said, oh, this means, but let's go. So we did. We started our team, and, you know, it was the number one team at the brokerage that year. It was such a great transition for me to really just get a full big picture of what real estate looked like. And then we felt like we outgrew the model at that brokerage, and we started our own brokerage, and we ran the brokerage like a team. So I was responsible for training the agents and for coaching them. And I learned a lot from my agent that I was the assistant from. And so I just kind of would regurgitate that back to the agents. And it's just a great opportunity for me. But yeah, it's definitely a strange trajectory to go from assistant to team leader to brokerage owner.
But frankly, I mean, real estate's full of those odd trajectories, because when you first even come near the business, you don't realize there's 1,000 different pathways. And luckily for you, in 10 years, you've lived in a whole bunch of them. So, hey, you can try it all out. Now, I want to hear about, because there is a big space in real estate for that seasoned agent who's ready to pull back, maybe even ready to fully retire and get out. And they don't know what to do to transition that well-developed 30 years worth of business and relationships to someone else without the consumer feeling like they got passed off, or without that next agent feeling like they're going to have to be completely cloned from that other agent. Because obviously, I love what you said, that he mentions y'all complement each other. So when he retires and you take over the book, they're getting a different style. And I think that's something that's really beneficial to the consumer. So in knowing that that space is, frankly, we need more people teaching in that space because it's just not really tapped enough. And I would love to know, as he transitioned out and you moved into that primary spot, what was the biggest aha moment for you? And then what was the biggest challenge you encountered?
I would say probably the biggest aha moment was just how diverse the business was. So he had new construction business, he had resale business. So there were a lot of different tasks that were coming at me in different things. So we're working for builders, we're working for developers, we were working with the general consumer. So lots of, you know, something that he would tell me, he said, as long as it's legal, you can do it in real estate. And that was just, love that, because I'm creative. And so, like, just understanding that you can do it. So that was good. Then the challenge, though, like you said, I mean, he's got such a wealth of knowledge that I just was trying to pick up along the way. And so I think that was my biggest challenge, was absorbing as much as I could. And then his biggest challenge was letting it go. But once he decided to let it go, he embraced retirement. So it was, you know, once he did it, he was like, okay, I'm done. And it was a good transition for both of us.
So he was able to move past his control freak tendencies on the same day. He's like, I'm worried, I'm out.
Almost. It felt like it. It felt like it to me, because all of a sudden he's like, you know, I'm looking at, I guess, deer caught in headlights running this brokerage. And I'm like, how did I get here? Like, this wasn't my job. I didn't anticipate that piece of it. But yeah, he would check in with me about once a month. He would come in the office and I'd be like, I think I'm not sure I want to do this. So
no.
Yeah, he's been such a great mentor for me.
So what was the catalyst for you saying, you know what, this brokerage piece, I'm not wired for that? Because it's not that you couldn't do it, because you were doing it and doing it well, but obviously it wasn't feeding you in the way that you needed to be fed. So what was the moment that you said, I'm good, I would like to be a sales agent so I can focus on the consumer client? What was that moment?
Yeah. So, you know, I think the agents at the brokerage, they started to feel the uneasiness that I had. And that was, and rightfully so. I mean, I was a little outside of my comfort zone. Within a span of 3 months, they all left me. So it was kind of, yeah.
I mean, it's real estate, right?
It's real estate, you know? So thankfully I was able to persevere through that, because at first I thought, oh my goodness, you know, real estate must not be for me because all of these agents have just left me. But again, it was twofold, because I wasn't comfortable and confident in that position. I could do it, but it didn't fulfill me. You know, looking back on it now, that was the best thing that could have happened. Having those agents leave, it was horrible. It was trying. It was devastating at times, you know, talk about killing your pride. I just built this amazing brokerage and the branding and all of that. But at the same time, going right into production, the leads that I was generating for the brokerage, they just continued to come. And then I didn't have to share them with anyone. They just came to me. And so I was able to just, you know, take that and kind of catapult my business.
If you are remotely awake, then you know that we are heading into some really tricky economic times. We have home buyers that have put the kibosh on buying. We have sellers who have found out suddenly their houses aren't dipped in 14 karat gold. And as a realtor, you are still trying to keep up with the business you have and trying to answer questions in the meantime, while also managing sky high fuel costs at the pump. Never fear, because my new video course is coming out right now, and it's called How to Dominate During a Recession. I've been a realtor for 22 years. My business went up every year during the Great Recession, and it's all because of education. This course is 4 modules. There might even be some bonus content for you. The price is $199. I am delighted to bring this out as quickly as possible because, friends, there's no time like the present to make sure our neighbors are stronger and we protect the American dream. Click on this link,
www.dominatethisrecession.com, and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content.
Well, that's an emotional hit too, when agents leave, and I don't know that we've ever really encapsulated that in the brokerage world, that it's not just that they take their production with them. It hurts because we have these interpersonal relationships. We know each other's families. We're around each other at all hours of day and night. And so they can leave for all the business reasons in the world that are valid and logical, and it still hurts. And so I guess when you got to talk to those consumers again, you're like, they still like me. Somebody likes me. I'm okay. This is going to be fine, because there's that emotional undercurrent in real estate is wild, just wild. So when you made this transition and said, all right, I'm letting go of the brokerage, because you have to have that moment of I'm letting this go so you can focus on something else. How did you make the business transition? Because you had gone from nurturing agents and building marketing for other people for the firm to having to shift to talk about yourself, which is what realtors are known for. But frankly, they have a hard time with sometimes, because we're told to be egotistical. And a lot of your agents are just not ego driven. So how did you switch that perspective effectively? And what kept the phone ringing?
Yeah, so, you know, I was responsible for all the marketing for the brokerage. And so, I'll be honest, when they left, I called my business partner, John, you know, who was enjoying retirement. And I said, closing the brokerage and I'm leaving real estate. And he said, no, you're not. And I said, yeah, I think that's a sign. They're all left. I'm going to leave real estate. And I actually even took a part-time job because I thought, I can't do this. And lo and behold, that marketing continued to work. And so people started calling me and I was like, okay, well, I can do this. You know, let's try it. Let's just try it. And so I started taking, you know, working with buyers. I went on a listing appointment and I got a listing, and I was, you know, just going to another brokerage. I learned pretty early on that being a single member broker owner, it doesn't make financial sense. So I just joined a brokerage and then I went. It was interesting. It was an interesting transition, but it worked.
Well, I love that he told you, no, you're not.
I know. I'm like, I hate it when he's right.
Well, I guess at that point, would you have been in for 7 years at that point? You said you've been in production for 3 years. So 7 years in, you've already survived past the biggest attrition point in real estate. It got into your blood. He knew better than you did. He's like, you can never walk away from this.
Yes, you're right. Yes. So,
okay, so of course,
a great blessing.
Well, I love him for that. That was awesome, because obviously it just sat right here in your little part-time job, reminding you that you already knew real estate, whether you knew this particular angle or not. All right. So in your 10 years, and now you've hit the moment. And by the way, fellow listeners and viewers, I tell people this all the time. If you make it to 10 years in real estate, your phone's going to ring. And I hate to tell y'all that it takes a whole decade, but it does take a decade. And then people just kind of remember you. It's hard to win that mind share. So high five, sister, because you've made it to the 10-year mark. Now I want to know, and all the different angles you've seen in the business, whether it was what some other agent was going through or what John was going through, what you've seen in your production years, it's the craziest thing you've seen that made you say, what?
It's been some crazy things. Let's just narrow it down. I've recently been working with a lot of people in jail, which has been one of those like, interest.
Okay. I have talked to a lot of agents about their marketing niche. Never once, ever, of all the agents I've ever met, has anybody had a niche in the jail. So I'm in, girl. Tell me about this.
No, I started talking to people. I said, how do I tell them on the inside I can help them sell their property on the outside?
Oh my God, the marketing writes itself.
Right? That's just my newest thing. I had 2 clients in the last 3 months in prison, one in the local jail system and one in the state prison system, both of them having to sell property on the outside. So learned a lot about how to get a power of attorney from an inmate in the different locations. And the they do become a ward of the state.
wait, who's a ward of the state? They are?
Like a prisoner, yeah.
So, okay, you know, so
there was like, it took a little bit of a lot of education for me to understand how to get all of those pieces. I mean, it's different when they're in the local prison system or local jail than it is in the state prison system.
So if I commit a crime, get locked up, and I own a house, and I say I've got to sell the house to pay my legal bills, because I would guess that's why houses have to get sold, because lawyers make so much. So you get a call from cell block B. He says, I've got a house on city block A. I need to sell it. So because he's in jail, he can't sign the documents. And so he's a ward of the state while he's in jail.
He can't sign the documents. So, but you can get a power of attorney. As long as they have a valid ID, then you have to make an appointment with their counselor and work on getting a power of attorney to allow them to be able to sign.
I don't know anything about this. Okay, so why can't they sell their own house while they're in jail? Because do you inherently lose that property rights freedom when you are locked up?
You don't lose your property right freedom, but there's some kind of something happens when you are in prison. I didn't fully understand it. I know that I had to get with his counselor who was able to help direct all of that. Like I said, it was different. The local jail system, that was easy, but it was the state prison system that definitely required a few more hoops to jump through to get it done.
So one of my good friends is the government affairs director for Georgia Realtors. And I kind of feel like Brad's going to get tagged into this video so he can help you understand more of the legalities of this, because a $5 says he doesn't know either, because most of us have never dealt in the space. So are you now... Wait, so hey, so how did you get deal number two? Did prisoner A tell prisoner B, hey, I found this girl, she's awesome?
I wish I could say it did. And I keep thinking I really need to capitalize on this.
Yeah, you do.
It was so unique that both of them happened within about just a couple of weeks of each other. So yeah, it's an interesting situation, but no, that didn't happen. These two individual situations. So yeah, it's fascinating though.
I mean, we can say that's a God wink because, you know, biblically we're told to take care of prisoners, and you're actually really taking care of them with honor and dignity while they're trying to figure out their situation. So it seems to me that you're probably going to have to make some YouTube videos about the details of how you sell your house while you're incarcerated, because it's a very niche market, but I don't know that anybody else is serving it. And now that you have two transactions of expertise, Jessica, I think you've got to be a service to the public. I don't even know what to think here, but one of my girlfriends in North Carolina real estate, her name is Kathy Robertson. Kathy's in Winston-Salem, and she's actually the president of the Winston-Salem Realtors in 2023, but she's got this massively thriving prison ministry. And now I feel like you need to talk to Kathy, because maybe she's done prison real estate and never told us about it, but there's got to be some interplay networking here that would benefit the public, because I'm just, the marketing does what
I totally agree. I mean, because, you know, it is challenging for them to figure out how to do business outside of the jail walls. So yeah, it was definitely more challenging than I had anticipated, but it's a market. There's definitely a market for it.
And you powered through, because like John said, you may as well, you're not going anywhere. Yeah. So.
That's right.
Did he ever sell a house to somebody on the inside, or sell one for somebody on the inside?
Yeah, I don't know.
So you need to remind him of this, that now your expertise has scaled a mountaintop he didn't climb. So have
That's
some
right.
fun.
Yeah.
Yep. So Jessica, if anybody's looking for an amazing realtor in Georgia near the mountains, how can they best find you and either network or send you some business?
Yeah, so you can find me on Facebook, Google, LinkedIn, that's Instagram. That's where I hang out. Jessica Wade, real estate agent. And you can find me.
Although I probably should say Jessica Wade, the prisoner's realtor. I mean, there's so many things you could come up with for marketing here. Again, providing.
As long as it's legal. You can do whatever you want.
The immortal words of John. It might even be the title of this episode. It's legal. You can do it in real estate. Love that. Thank you so much for coming on the show and bringing us a different perspective, but also not just from the prison piece, which is, I never thought of that before in a zillion years, but your trajectory is the kind that gives a lot of people encouragement. So thank you for sharing that, because if you're in a place in real estate that doesn't feel right, it doesn't mean you have to get out of real estate. It might just mean there's a different pathway to pursue. And that's what we have to do, is support each other in figuring out the journey.
That's right. Keep going.
Well, guys, if you love Jessica, because of course you do, leave her some comments and some thumbs up, subscribe for more, and we'll see you next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out, I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.